This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
So, how's about writing us a hit? Well, that's how composer Conrad Susa interpreted conductor Philip Brunel's suggestion that he write a companion piece to Benjamin Britten's popular work, A Ceremony of Carols. Intrigued and excited by the idea, it would be several years later, after coming to know a collection of traditional Spanish carols a friend had sung as a boy in Arizona, that the 10-movement work, Carols and Lullabies, Christmas in the Southwest, began to take shape. Sousa juggled them into a narrative of sorts, added guitar and marimba and vibraphone to Britten's scoring, which is for just harp, and composed a series of 10 connected movements that reconceived the original carols while retaining their artful simplicity. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Sounds Choral, a program that explores the many aspects of choral music in ways designed not only to inform, but also to provide new food for thought, and perhaps even enliven our journey together along the way. I'm your host, Deborah Simkin King, a conductor and artistic director based in Manhattan and northern New Jersey. I can only imagine that the challenge to middle-aged Conrad Susa, primarily a composer of opera, must have been both intriguing and a little intimidating. While it is probably fair to assume that regular listeners of Sounds Choral are familiar with British composer Benjamin Britten, we should probably point out that Conrad Susa is in no way related to the famous 19th-century composer and conductor John Philip Sousa, known primarily for American military marches. Conrad Sousa, S-U-S-A, was also a thoroughly American composer, but one who lived and worked approximately 80 years later than the Sousa, S-O-U-S-A, who composed marches. Having performed Sousa's Carols and Lullabies, I can tell you that I find them every bit as captivating as their earlier British inspirational catalysts, yet in very different ways, ways that feel very grounded in the folklore of Southwest America. Sousa has given performers the option of singing either in the original languages, North American Spanish, and in the case of two of the movements, Catalan, or in English, or even in a mixture of both. All 10 movements are written to be performed without a break, one leading directly into the next. Sousa has structured the whole work with such beautiful symmetry that actually underscores the narrative that I thought it might be fun to experience it together today in the 3+2+2+3 narrative structure. The first three movements all have to do with setting the context for the birth. First, singing about Bethlehem, from which light is said to shine brightly. Then one of the two Catalan movements that tells of the emergence of a flower in the cold of winter. The third carol in this first group tells the story of Mary and Joseph looking for lodging, being refused, and being serenaded by songbirds. Enjoy the beautifully idiomatic combination of harp, Spanish guitar, marimba, and vibraphone, in combination with the voices of the Filovox Ensemble under the direction of Jennifer Lester.
Thank you.
I am Deborah Simkin King, your host on today's edition of Sounds Choral. And we have just heard the first three movements of Conrad Seuss's Carols and Lullabies, Christmas in the Southwest, sung by the Filovox Ensemble under the direction of Jennifer Lester. The two middle sections of Seuss's 10-movement work form two narrative pairs. The first pair combines a lullaby, A la Nanita Nanna, sung by mother to baby, with a carol telling of the eager anticipation of the villagers to see the baby, Las Posadas. The second pair, movements 6 and 7, both express excitement over the birth. The first features the sound of bells, campana sobre campana, in both voices and instruments. In the second carol in this set, En Belén tocan a fuego, the passion is even subtly prefigured, even in the midst of a birthday celebration so great that even the fish glisten and dance. Let's listen now to these four middle movements of Conrad Seuss's Carols and Lullabies, Christmas in the Southwest, performed here by the Filovox Ensemble under the direction of Jennifer Lester.
Thank you. Thank you.
What beautiful, gentle, joyful writing. Conrad Seuss's Carols and Lullabies, Christmas in the Southwest, performed for us by Jennifer Lester and the Filivox Ensemble. I am Deborah Simkin King, your host on today's edition of Sounds Choral. We come now to the final group of three carols in this symmetrically structured set, numbers 8, 9, and 10. Movement 8 is the second of the two movements set in the Catalan dialect, and is likely to be the one melody with which many are familiar, the carol, What Shall I Bring to the Child in the Manger? It is also the only movement in the entire set that is entirely a cappella, or sung without instruments. The composer holds our interest, however, with modulations to four different keys and with different combinations of choral and solo ensemble voices. Movement 9 tells the story of going to the manger and seeing the baby. The repeated refrain means something like, Oh, the manger, chikirikitin, and the verses, filled with awe, are, of course, a cappella. Seuss's final movement is a tender lullaby, but one in which the composer fully employs all forces, both marimba and vibraphone in the same movement, double and triple divisi in all voice parts, extremes of ranges, and he eventually takes us all the way back to the music with which we started in movement 1. Let's listen to this final group of three carols from Conrad Seuss's Carols and Lullabies, Christmas in the Southwest, again from the baton of Jennifer Lester with the Filivox Ensemble. What glorious seasonal music written in a style reflective of the American Southwest. Interestingly enough, the premiere of Seuss's Carols and Lullabies took place on exactly this date, December 6th, in 1992, under the baton of commissioning conductor Philip Brunel with the Plymouth Music Series of Minnesota. The performance we have heard today is that of the Philivox Ensemble, conducted by Jennifer Lester. This is Sounds Choral, a program that explores many aspects of choral music, and I am Deborah Simkin King, your host on today's edition. Let's turn our attention for the remainder of our time together today to the beloved Ceremony of Carols by Benjamin Britten. The coming together of all of the 12 movements we know today was, unlike Seuss's companion composition, decidedly not undertaken initially as a structured whole. Nonetheless, the final version was premiered on December 4th, 1943 in London, almost exactly 49 years prior to the Sousa premiere. The work, scored for treble choir, took on immense popularity and was ultimately arranged for SATB voices by Julius Harrison and published in that scoring as well in 1955. Like Sousa's work, Britten's Ceremony of Carols mixes languages and dialects, draws upon ancient tunes and texts, and makes use of harp as accompaniment. Britten, however, makes a great deal more use of solo voices, for example, in number 4, That Young Child, number 5, Balulalo, and in number 10, a duet, Spring Carol. And he touches much more substantially on such darker theological issues as the battle between good and evil, as in number 7, This Little Babe, and in number 11, Adam Leigh Bounden, and discord on earth, as in number 9, In Freezing Winter Night. Britten also styles the work as in the context of a church service, with the Gregorian antiphon, Odie Christus Natus Est, serving as a literal procession of the choir in and out of the church. Let's enjoy together an uninterrupted performance of Britten's beloved A Ceremony of Carols, performed by the renowned King's College Choir of Cambridge, England, under the direction of Stephen Cleobury. Harpist is the London Philharmonic Orchestra's longtime principal harpist, Rachel Masters. Enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you.
I am Deborah Simkin King, your host on today's edition of Sounds Choral. I hope you have enjoyed sharing Benjamin Britten's A Ceremony of Carols and Conrad Seuss's Carols and Lullabies, Christmas in the Southwest, as much as I have. I would love it if you were able to take a break from your busy holiday preparations for 1 hour that you might spend with my ensemble, Ember. We will live stream a concert that we call Hearts and Voices Outstretched at 3 p.m. on Friday, December 18th, from the beautiful nave of St. John's in the Village Episcopal Church in New York City. You can learn more about the concert and about how you can engage this fully immersive, 360-degree virtual reality performance on Ember's website at emberensemble.org. This will be our first exclusively virtual live stream performance, and I would love to know what you think. It's interesting to ponder the impact we can have on each other, isn't it? Had Britten not created his Ceremony of Carols, had he not scored an accompaniment for it for harp, the hiring of which is an expenditure of note for most choirs, had Philip Brunel not thought to ask Sousa for a companion piece for it, had Sousa not happened to know someone who sang Spanish carols as a boy, well, you see where we're going with this. I wonder what creative thoughts and challenges we might share with each other and with others around us. Perhaps it's a good time of year to remember with gratitude how much better we really are together. As always, I welcome your thoughts and feedback. And you can always find me, Deborah Simkin King, through my website at deborahsking.com. I would love to hear from you. Sounds Choral is produced at the studios of WWFM, the Classical Network, David Olsenberg, producer. You can listen to any recent Sounds Choral program by going to WWFM.org and clicking on Classical and then on Webcasts. You can also support programming like this with a donation in membership at our website. Sounds Choral is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network. Until next time, take good care of yourself, those you love, and all whose paths you cross. And as always, happy listening.